Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
A resilient team. We've got a lot of guys in this locker room that care about each other, that are very resilient. Going up 28-3, we had to continue to put pressure on there in the third and the fourth quarter. Hats off to them. That's a really good team we just faced, and they fought back really well, but I'm super proud of how our team responded there late. Obviously, we want to close out the gap when we can. But there's still a lot of things to learn from. I can't give the ball over twice, give them field position. I lost my cool, got a 15-yard penalty. I can't do that to our defense, put them in that position. So a lot of things to clean up.
A lot of words of maturity from you. This team has looked so improved. You now advance to a perfect 3-0. How much different, really, is this Bills squad now than last season?
We're just focused on the next game. No team got in the playoffs with only winning three games. We know we got a tough Las Vegas team going into next week. We'll get in tomorrow, watch this film, learn from it, and try to put our focus on to Sunday.
Josh Allen, post-game interview on Fox yesterday after the win over the Rams. He has now topped 1,000 yards passing in the season in just the first three games of the season. Welcome to a victorious Bills Football Monday. We are ready to take more of your phone calls. We got lines open if you want to get in, too. 803-0550 as we talk about this new neighborhood we're living in called winning by passing the ball and now outscoring your opponent. It's a cool zip code. Very exclusive.
Three straight games, 300-plus yards passing.
Yeah.
I mentioned we're not hearing the total touchdowns anymore. They put a graphic on the screen last night. Allen's accuracy, what was it, on the 20-plus air yard throws? Last year was 28th in the league, and this year he's second.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see the updated numbers from yesterday, but yes, he was, 7 of 9, I think, through the first two games or something like that. I'd have to check it and see what it was after yesterday's game. I was just looking at the offensive ranks. We're going to get to Cole and Mo here in a second. The Bills are fourth in the league in points, fourth in total yards, second in passing yards, second in passing average.
Pretty good.
It's a nice neighborhood to live in. Let's see. We're going to Cole in Ransomville first. Cole, welcome to Bills Football Monday on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Victory Monday. Just wanted to touch on a couple things, and then I'll hang up. Offensive line, all said and done. I think they played a heck of a game, all things considered. Aaron Donald can take over a game, which he showed late in third and fourth quarter. Either way, I wanted to see if there was any injury update on Doc, because I know on that screen he hurt his shoulder. And then also, Cody Ford was moved over to left guard, and Winters came in at right guard. And I was wondering if there was anything going on with Quinn Spain, or if they just thought it would be a better matchup having younger, fresher legs with Cody Ford in there. And, Winters, I don't know, I feel like Spain's been a really good addition for us the past couple of years, and just wondering what was up there. So I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Didn't see anything on Dawkins. Jeremy, I forgot to ask Sal about any kind of updates that would have come out after the game yesterday. I didn't see anything on Dawkins. Did you hear anything on that front at all?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, well, I mean, McDermott will talk, I think, around 4 o'clock this afternoon, so I assume we'll get some kind of an injury update there. The Spain thing, honestly, I think, his lease on that job is running out, basically. There was a a day last week, and I forgot to bring it up. I don't remember when it was. Maybe it was the Monday after the win over Miami. I think it was. And on McDermott's Zoom call, somebody asked him about, I guess John Feliciano was tweeting during the game. You know, he's not playing. He's injured. Was tweeting and some different things. And they asked him for, yeah, hey, what'd you think of John Feliciano's tweets yesterday? And McDermott made a crack about how I'd rather see him playing right guard or left guard than tweeting. And I thought it was kind of odd that why would he mention Feliciano at left guard? He's been the right guard since he's been here. And I thought, does that mean that, you know, Spain, they're not happy with Spain for some reason, because when Feliciano comes back, maybe he's at left guard and Ford's at right guard, or maybe he's at right guard and Ford's at left guard. So I thought that comment was interesting. I'm going to guess it's something they're not thrilled with Quentin Spain. Maybe some of it was matchup yesterday with Aaron Donald. They felt better with Ford and Winters at guard. But I don't know that Quentin Spain's grasp on that job is that strong, quite honestly. I think when Feliciano gets back, you might see Spain on the bench.
One thing the Bills have been able to do is, outside of the Feliciano thing, they've kind of avoided injury, right? Yesterday, there were a couple of scary moments when Dawkins does go down.
Yep. Hyde was really worried when Hyde was down.
Edmonds and Milano, that lasted a week. You know, you've kind of caught a break here so far with injuries in terms of guys that will miss the whole season. You had Star opt out. And Feliciano, and am I missing any other really big injury at this point?
No, because, I mean, Gaines opted out, but he just would have, yep. Who knows if he made the roster. But
Norman, they're waiting on Josh Norman.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, nice pick for Levi Wallace yesterday. Rough.
Yes, it was.
Real rough game for him last week in Miami. Nice play by him on that. I mean, it looked like Goff was throwing the ball to Wallace. So he did a really good job in coverage on that play.
Taron Johnson, I thought, had a nice day, too.
I'm going to give you I'd like to look at the film on that
one.
Sure,
I mean, because every pass coverage.
It is Cooper Kupp, and Cooper Kupp is probably one of the most difficult slot receivers to cover in this league. So I don't know. Like, he had a big day. I just don't know, Jeremy, how much of that was Taron Johnson. He came up on some screens and some other plays Johnson did and made some really nice tackles.
That's kind of what I'm speaking to. I think the Rams are a team that they're going to get their yards. They're going to get their points.
For sure.
It's a point that we make a lot. Like these points are being scored. Jalen Ramsey, right? One of the best corners in the league.
Yep.
The Bills beat him for a touchdown. Like, that's part of what happens. Matt Milano gets beat on a play. If you play defense, you're going to get beat at times. It's are you doing enough when given an opportunity? And I thought Taron Johnson had a couple of nice plays in support, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I think he anticipated plays really nice in terms of, you know, coming up and closing on something. Let's get some more calls in. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Mo in New Jersey, welcome to Bills Football Monday on WGR.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
So I wanted to talk about Josh Allen. Obviously, you know, I'm thrilled with the way the guy is playing, and I couldn't be happier. You know, yesterday was one of those moments where you see what you have with the guy, and watching him play, I know a lot of people want to compare him to Cam Newton, and who cares about these comparisons, because Josh is Josh, right? He's going to do what he does. But to me, he reminds me of Big Ben. The way he holds on to that ball until the very last second, he's going to give you a heart attack on every single play, but somehow he manages to escape the pressure. And some of these throws that he's been making, especially this season, man, 3rd and 22, it's just, I can't believe this is our guy. I watched football for 20-some-odd years now. I'm thinking, I wish we had a quarterback like that. And we got him. This is our guy.
I'm laughing because, I mean, that's what we've all done, right? We've all lived there. We've all been watching. Hey, guess what? Russell Wilson threw 5 TDs yesterday. Guess who else had 5 TDs? Josh. 4 passing, 1 rushing. Like, for years, we've been watching other quarterbacks put up 300-plus yards, 3-4 touchdowns. They get to 28 points. And we're like, hey, I wish we had that. Well, now you do. I mean, it's right now you do. And this wasn't, hey, they beat the Jets. Hey, they beat the Dolphins. It's a 2-0 Rams team. They beat Dallas, and they came in here and put up quite a fight, and the Bills outscored them with their offense.
The Roethlisberger comparison, I like that one. I like the Cam Newton one a lot. You know, the thing about that comparison is that when it was made, Allen was missing the passing touchdowns portion of it because Newton has had some pretty prolific passing years. This year, Newton's doing a lot of running the ball. So, you know, a comparison can always kind of move around. I like the Roethlisberger one, too. I saw someone say Newton and Favre, a combination of Newton and Favre. Again, like, these are very lofty comparisons.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think the reason you bring up Roethlisberger or you bring up Favre is because the unconventional nature of throwing defensive linemen around or trying to, you know, whether it's pancaking Kyle Van Noy or, granted, the personal foul with the face mask was He earned it.
Yeah.
But, you know, would you have been that surprised if he's able to stiff arm a guy off and still get the throw?
I think even, you know what, honestly, Jeremy, even though we've seen it going on 3 years now, and even though there are times where he can absolutely make me so crazy with some of those scrambles where he holds the ball out, it really is amazing to see how many times he can't be brought down. Like, not just the running over Kyle Van Noy, but even yesterday. How many times yesterday were there guys around him getting a piece of him, draped on him, and he, more often than not, doesn't get sacked? Now, sometimes it could turn into a face mask or a fumble because he's trying to keep the play alive. But it really is amazing to see. I think I would compare more to Cam. Both guys, him and Roethlisberger, right, they're big, they're strong, they're physical quarterbacks. But, you know, with Cam, it is the running. Roethlisberger is a move around the pocket guy. He's tough to bring down, you know, but you're not necessarily going to say, we're going to have to spy Ben Roethlisberger. You do that with Cam Newton. You would do that with Josh Allen. And right, Newton was never known as the most accurate guy, right? He didn't have like a ton of, I think, high completion percentage seasons, but he threw for a ton of yards and he would scare you to death with his legs for multiple ways. So I think that's the best comparison for Josh Allen, Cam Newton more than Roethlisberger. You know, Roethlisberger was just a load to bring down. And then he would shake off a sack and then throw the ball downfield, but he's typically not running downfield very much. Let's see. I lost some spot. We're going to, Jacksonville next. Mario, you're on Bills Football Monday. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. I just want to say I think this is a couple of firsts for me as a Bills fan. Born in 91. I think this is the first time in my life where I've had a team where I'm excited to get the offense on the field and want to put the ball in the quarterback's hands, and it's still kind of surreal to me. So that was pretty cool. And I honestly think this is the first time the Bills have been, in my fanhood, on the end of a game like that where they blow a lead and then actually come back and win. Because the whole time I'm thinking, gosh, this is so classic Buffalo if we blow this lead and lose. So that was just really great to be able to come to work this morning and have the win. Now, my only question for you guys is I'm a little worried about the defense. They haven't looked great at time. I mean, third and fourth quarter last night or yesterday. Do you think that was just chalked up to really good offense they faced, or is there things we gotta work on moving forward?
I'm going to go more so with the offense, but yeah. I'm worried about the run defense, really. I mean, Miles Gaskin looked good, too, against the Bills. I'm beginning to worry about the run defense.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the Rams offense is back. They didn't have Cam Akers yesterday, but Daryl Henderson, Malcolm Brown, these guys have picked up slack at times before for them. Their receivers are good.
Yeah, we know Woods is good, and Woods had a big
Woods
second
and Cup,
half.
Higbee and Everett can do it well. They've got one of the best schemers, I think. I've been waiting to see how the Bills defended a team like that for a couple weeks. Going to the opener when the Rams came out and looked really sharp against the Cowboys and ended up winning that game. So, you know, I would have liked them to be a little bit better. The first half was really impressive. And, you know, what do you chalk it up as? A good offense? That's going to be part of it, right? Obviously, that makes it much harder.
Yeah, I think
when they play the Chiefs, How many points should you reasonably expect them to hold the Chiefs to?
Well, to me, I think you're going to have to get over 30 in that game.
Well, like, right. I mean, but how many points could you give up to the Chiefs
and win?
Be happy? Is it 24?
I was thinking 28.
Right. Like, this is, I think, the point for me that's what's different about this Bills team. It used to be you would ask for 21. Mm-hmm. Okay, just give up 21 because the offense can't do much more than that. And yesterday's a game where they gave up 32. I don't think there's any scenario where 32, you're happy with it, right? You're not happy about 32. If you've given up 24 to the Rams, I think you're happy. If you give up 24 to the Chiefs, you're happy. So do you have the kind of offense that can overcome that, and do you have the kind of defense that if they do get it together and if they do figure out the run defense, whatever's ailing them, the Raiders this week is a good test in terms of a team that likes to run the ball and wants to run the ball with Josh Jacobs. Can you get it together where I can reasonably expect that these teams you're playing against aren't going to go into the 30s. You can keep them to 24, even 27, because I've seen the Bills offense. We can see that Bills offense. You can picture it getting over 27 against a lot of teams with the way they're playing right now.
Yeah, I think would you be overly concerned? I'm going to go just not yet. I think there are some things in play here. And I do believe the one thing more than anything else right now would be the run defense, because I do think, you know, maybe we're beginning to see the issues of Starr opting out and him not being that big presence in the middle. Look, you can easily say the Miami game, they played without Milano and Edmonds. Okay, but Milano and Edmonds were back yesterday, maybe not at full strength. They were back yesterday, and in the second half, everybody was getting shredded on the defensive side of the ball. So I wouldn't say, like, don't freak out yet. I find it hard to believe that, you know, what, the big, no Shaq, no Jordan Phillips, and no Star, right? Those are basically the three main guys that are not here from last season. I don't think that should be a death blow for the Bills' defense. So I'm willing to say, raise an eyebrow, go, I'd like to see him stop the run a little bit better. And then, of course, they couldn't stop Kupp, and they couldn't stop Robert Woods. Yeah, it's surprising, but for me to go totally concerned, not yet. I wouldn't do that yet. But these next few games are going to be tough. Like you just said, Jeremy, you got Josh. If you're worried about the run, you have Josh Jacobs, and you have Derrick Henry, two of the old so-called bell cow running backs. They're going to get fed the ball a lot. And then you got a Patriots team that runs by committee, including the quarterback, and just ran for 250 yards yesterday and ran for however many they had opening day against Miami. So that would be my main thing right now. I'm worried about the run defense at this point. Let's, I'm going to get another call. Let's go to Quincy in Buffalo. Quincy, you're on WGR on Bills Football Monday. Go right ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
So I had a question about Trey White. I kind of feel like he's out there making business decisions. Like, he's afraid to get in there on the tackle. Like, so many times you see him just running alongside the pile. Do you feel like maybe he needs to get in there a little bit more on the run?
I honestly haven't seen it. I haven't been looking for it necessarily, but I couldn't even answer it because I have not seen evidence of him not willing to get in the play. I don't know.
Just like all of our whole secondary, 14 tackles, 11 tackles, 9 tackles, 8 tackles.
Well, again, now if the ball's not coming his way much, he's not going to be – like Levi Wallace might have had a ton of tackles in Miami. That's because they were throwing at him all day.
Yeah, yeah.
And the safeties are going to be involved in plays.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. I didn't look at the all 22. I don't look at the all 22. I rely on Jeremy, quite honestly. But I haven't watched games thinking, hey Trey, I need you to get involved in that play. Like I don't feel like he's run away from run stops. And of course, if the ball's thrown to the guy he's covering, he's gonna make the tackle. I've never felt like he's shying away from physical play. But I haven't seen it that close.
Cool.
All right.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call.
Sure. Thanks for calling in. All right, 803-0550, we get a break. We got lines open. We want to continue talking about the Bills win over the Rams yesterday on Bills Football Monday.
I want to find out how much of tonight's game you're going to watch, too. Don't tell me. Tease it. It's a big one. I mean, it's a big game.
Okay, my answer isn't big, but the tease, I guess, it is a big game. I've got an idea. I've got a plan in place.
All right.
Murph's coming up in a moment, but we want to hear from you, too. We'll keep taking your calls. Phone lines are open, 803-0550. It is Bills Football Monday. Presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Sets up to throw, fires a short one, caught by Singletary. Singletary waits for blocks, gets good yardage now, across midfield, down the left sideline, gets inside the 40, inside the 30, and he is finally spilled to the ground deep in Los Angeles territory at the 17-yard line, a 37-yard pass.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Seeing what he does every single day, and that's, you know, be the same guy, whether we're up 30 or we're down by four. You know, he does the same thing every single day. He comes out and competes every single day, so it's nothing new to see.
This is Bills rookie receiver Gabriel Davis. Four catches yesterday, and real nice, was in on the controversial DPI call, but a very nice keep the foot in bounds play on one of the deep throws by Josh yesterday. Bills win 35-32. Josh Allen, 311 yards passing, four more passing touchdowns, an interception that should not have been an interception, but the NFL doesn't know what they're doing, and a game-winning touchdown pass. Big day for Devin Singletary, 221 total yards on 17 touches for him. The Bills stay unbeaten, 3-0, and they go to Vegas on Sunday. That is going to be a 425 game. Vegas lost in New England yesterday. Patriots are 2-1 after the 36-20 victory. They ran for 250 yards in that game. Pittsburgh's now 3-0. They beat Houston. The Texans are 0-3. Tennessee's 3-0. They won on a Steven Gostkowski field goal in Minnesota. The Seahawks beat Dallas 38-31. Entertaining shootout kind of game. Five touchdown passes for Russell Wilson. Last night, Green Bay outscored New Orleans 37-30. Tonight, I think you should bet the over. Kansas City, I don't even know what it is, but still bet the over. Kansas City at Baltimore. Stanley Cup Finals, Game 6, Tampa Bay, Dallas, 8 o'clock over on ESPN 1520. The Heat move on to the NBA Finals. They'll take on the Lakers. The Jays will play the Rays in the MLB wildcard round. The Yanks will be in Cleveland. Those are your headlines. Next update coming up at 9 o'clock. Phone lines open here to join us with your opinions, your questions, your comments on the Bills win over the Rams. We're going to get to John Murphy as well. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. Murph's segment is brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you, by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by Sullivan's Brewing Company from Ireland to Buffalo, the best ales in the world. John is with us right now on the West Shore Hotline. Good morning, John Murphy. How are you?
I'm well, Howard. Thank you very much. Good morning.
So, did you dust off the old? You had to get the old broadcast playbook that you and Van would have had in the heyday in the '90s when the Bills' offense was pumping out points. Like, he actually, Josh Allen broke a Bills record set by Jim Kelly. We're in a different neighborhood, Murph, with this passing offense.
Yeah, they looked almost unstoppable, didn't they? I mean, they just kept moving the ball. Moving it downfield, they got, you know, some short fields to work with, which always helps. But they were biting off big chunks of yardage. I'm kind of reviewing the game today, and there's so many big plays to look at. I mean, there's just so many big plays made by both sides, actually, and it was pretty amazing that the Bills were able to do that right through to the end, right through the final drive of the Buffalo's final drive of the game.
What more can we say about Josh Allen, Murph? I think it's we've already established how he looks so comfortable and everything and operating in this offense. And even yesterday, the interception, a couple of crazy moments where he's scrambling, one fumble. He has the ability to lead that, you know, game-winning touchdown drive and hit some really big throws, especially to Cole Beasley on that drive.
Yeah, and you just said the word that comes to mind for me, and that's lead. You know, the numbers are great, 311 yards yesterday, three straight 300-yard passing games, the touchdown passes. the numbers are spectacular. But it's really the leadership and the maturity that he shows in leadership, you know, that I think has been most impressive this year. They, even down, you know, the way they were with 4.5 minutes to go, to he just had the composure to lead him downfield and get him in position for the go-ahead touchdown to make the plays he does, to command the offense the way he does. That's what's most impressive. There's a lot to be impressive by Josh, the way he's throwing the ball and everything and the numbers he's putting up. But most, I mean, for a fourth-quarter comeback consecutive weeks, that's huge. And yep. And to do it against a really good team in the Los Angeles Rams is even bigger. That's what gets my attention most of all, just how he's led by example, really, for the first 3 weeks of this year.
I think one of the many things that's really encouraging about the offense, you know, they get to halftime, and I don't know that you could have played a much better offensive first half. They look so good. And then you go check the stats, and you see no catches for Diggs, no catches for John Brown. And they still had 21 points and had an incredible first half performance when two of their key weapons were kept in check. Brown, of course, was injured and doesn't come back. But two of their big weapons didn't produce, and they still had that kind of first half. It's the depth of their offense, too.
Yeah, and the depth overall, I think, of the team, it's a thing that struck me back in preseason when they're practicing in Orchard Park, just how deep they are. You know, they lose John Feliciano, and they have an answer. They lose star Lotulelei, who decides to opt out, and they have an answer, you know. And that shows on offense. As you point out in yesterday's game, they have answers. Even when top-line guys get knocked out or maybe out for a few plays even, they have an answer. And that's how you build a team. That's Brandon. That's a testament to the offseason work done by Brandon Bean and his department.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. We didn't mention Bean earlier when we were spreading credit around, because I wanted to ask you about Brian Daboll and his first three games and how he's using all these weapons and the game plans he's developing, Murph, and the ability to put design plays and put things together to get guys open so much for the quarterback. I probably should have mentioned, hey, Brandon Bean in the front office, good job assembling all this talent on the offensive side of the ball around Josh Allen. But what about Brian Daboll's role in the first three games?
Yeah, he's been sensational. And, you know, the Bills receivers yesterday were open a lot and big, you know, they were open by, they were open several times and they had big cushions to work with, and that's impressive. And yeah, Daboll's done a great job. I think they haven't run the ball, even yesterday, they haven't run the ball the way they had hoped to maybe to start the season. That'll come around, I believe. It's been a focus on the pass through three straight weeks, which is good. I mean, they're 3-0, and I think Daboll, it seems to me, came into the season determined to expand the capabilities of his offense, you know, knowing that he had all these new weapons to add, Stephon Diggs, etc. But he wanted to be able to do things that he just didn't have the capability to do with that group, those groups they had for a couple of years. And now he does, and he's been creative. He's been consistent. He's been rock solid, really, in what he's trying to do on offense. And it's paying dividends, to be sure.
Well, while Diggs was, you know, relatively quiet, and Brown eventually leaves the game injured with no catches, what about Cole Beasley's game yesterday, Murph? Because he stepped up big time, and on that game-winning drive, he ends up having three catches for like 57, 58 yards, including the huge third and 22. Just his ability to get open, to find that open spot, especially against the zone, and tack on some run after catch, he comes up and plays a key role in that second half.
Yeah, he's six catches, obviously, And that's the thing, you know. And, you know, I think so Beasley has played with Josh Allen now into his second year, and you can see even now the chemistry between those two developing. And I think that's the most important thing for a guy like Beasley, who's basically going to – he's not freelancing, but he's going to find a way to get open no matter what it takes, no matter what's called in the huddle. And he did that yesterday. He's done that now, and he does it more consistently now that he's got a good working relationship with Josh Allen. To lose the top two receivers, they have number three Beasley there, and they have him be have such a contributing part to play, such an important role to play in Buffalo's win is important. And it just shows you what you get when you have people around for a while. You know, they're not learning on the fly now. They're into their second year together, and they're kind of anticipating what the other guy's going to do. That was huge yesterday.
803-0550 to join us. Matt in New York. You're on with Murph here on Bills Football Monday. Go right ahead. Nope, maybe. Matt, you there?
Hey, guys.
There we go. Okay, go ahead, Matt.
I wanted to talk about Gabe Davis and really the find that Brandon Bean had in a pretty deep receiver draft. If you think about this year's draft, we really talked about those top five, six guys, first round. We pull a guy out in the fourth round. Many had an undrafted grade. And you just have to feel great about their ability to really scout guys on a national level, coming out of the American, and then show up when those top two receivers, as Murph was just saying, were taken out of the game. So just want to highlight Brandon Bean there. Super happy about three straight Buffalo Football Mondays. Who would have thought this team is a team that's expected to win on Sundays and just can't be more excited for Vegas coming up this week.
All right, Matt, thanks. Yeah, Gabriel Davis, Murph, again, was one of the really big stories at training camp. Everybody was talking about how impressed they were and how he looked really good in the practices and had, what, four more catches yesterday? Beautiful catch on the sideline and was the target on the big fourth down call that goes their way.
Yeah, that catch, first quarter catch, the deep pass, I think it went 39 yards, just a spectacular way. He was, again, wide open. We said a lot of guys were wide open, but he had to adjust on the ball. He did. He made sure he got the toe tap down before he went out of bounds. He just does stuff that you don't expect, any fourth rounder. Now, it was a deep draft, as Matt said, so there was good talent in the fourth round, but you just don't expect that sort of game presence for a guy to make a play like that. And I got to say this, too. One of the guys that I really liked in training camp was Isaiah Hodgins, you know, who was, sixth-rounder. So he's a practice squad guy. He hasn't been heard from yet, but I think he's going to have something to say in the years ahead, the next couple of years, about the Bills' receiving corps, because I think he was a really talented player as well. Again, more evidence of the great job that Bean and the scouting staff have done.
Should we be worried about the defense after the second half yesterday?
Yeah, worried, I don't know. I mean, they didn't never forced a punt, which is interesting. They got a couple of takeaways and turned it over on downs once. I don't know, worried, but, yeah, I guess I'd be worried a little bit. They got to play better, right? That's what you'd be worried about. I mean, the 3-0, you don't want to worry about too much, but they got to play better. The Rams are a very good team. That's important to say, too. And if people will always say, well, yeah, but there's no but here. The Rams are a good team. The Rams are a playoff caliber, maybe a Super Bowl caliber team this year, I think. And they're very good and very, very good offensively. And it's not because, you know, they don't have any spectacular weapons, which is maybe why you don't give them credit. I mean, Robert Woods is good and Cooper Kupp is good. Obviously, Jared Goff is good. They don't have any great spectacular offensive weapons, but they have a good plan engineered by a good coach. They run things at a pretty fast pace. They know what they want to do offensively. Even in the first half when the Bills, held them to, 3 points in the first half, they were still moving the ball. Bills never forced a punt. They turned it over a couple times, but I just think that was the number one problem with yesterday's Bills defense. The opponents, the Rams, were very, very good, a very well-crafted offensive, well-oiled offensive unit. That's what Buffalo was up against. But, yeah, the Bills have some issues on defense, I think, and it starts up front. You know, you can't give up that many rushing yardage to anybody, but that's tough to watch. And it's a very good offensive line for the Rams, and they outplayed the Bills up front, I think. There's some injury issues, obviously, at linebacker a couple of weeks ago. Micah Hyde got banged up a little bit yesterday, so you got to keep an eye on that. Sure, the defense has to get better. There's no question about that, and I think they will.
We'll get to Matt in Pennsylvania next. Go ahead, Matt. You're on with Murph here on WGR.
How you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
I just want to talk about the Lee Smith touchdown play and the sequence of plays leading up to that. It looked like that play was supposed to originally go to they were trying to get to the Ryan Bates there. It looked like he was leaking out to the left, and that was covered. And Josh Allen had to reset and come back late to Lee Smith, and he found him for the touchdown there. But that sequence of plays leading up to that, a couple plays before that was the overturn of the Diggs play, the trips motion play. Eric Wood talked about that on Twitter, how New England used to run that play all the time, and it's pretty much impossible to stop. And I saw Tampa Bay had run that play yesterday with Brady, and they motioned Evans in, and he scored on that play too.
Yeah, I thought he looked first to Croft on the touchdown pass to Lee Smith. They had all the big people in. Murph, I don't know if that was if it was designed for Ryan Bates or not. I'm trying to recall how that play shook out.
He had some options there to be sure, and they had, as the caller Matt pointed out, they had extra tight ends. They had a big lineup in there. And he had some options, which is kind of what you're looking for. I want to talk about the touchdown that was wiped out. He mentioned a couple of them, but the Diggs touchdown, there was a holding call on Brian Winters, and I went back and looked at it 3 or 4 times this morning. I don't see a hold. I really don't see a hold. I think it's maybe one of the most under-examined plays of a very poor performance by NFL officials yesterday in that game. I don't see a hold at all on that play. Wiped out a touchdown for the Bills, but they just kept after it, obviously. They had scored 3 touchdowns. First 2 of them were wiped out. They had some good options on the Lee Smith touchdown catch, and Lee's a pretty valuable option, too, as a matter of fact.
I'll save you some time, Murph. Don't go back and watch the interception again. You'll never see video evidence of it.
No, that was awful. That was terrible.
To be honest, still can't understand how they're
Los Angeles today. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about the phantom pass interference. That was not much of a pass interference call that essentially cost the Rams the game, and they have a good argument to make in Los Angeles about that.
I think it was illegal contact, but then you can still get to Gabriel Davis did a good job of selling it, I think, too.
Yep.
But whatever. Great. All right. Hey, Murph, thanks as always for coming on. You're 3-0 so far this season. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks, Albert.
All right, John. We'll talk to you Friday. John Murphy's segment on our Western Hotline brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you by Lockport Outdoor Store, high impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by Sullivan's Brewing Company from Ireland to Buffalo, the best ales in the world.
Was Mike Pereira 2-for-2 in saying the calls were should have gone the Bills'
way? He disagreed with both, right? I think. Well, he knew.
I thought he was good on the. He said it wouldn't be pass interference, but it would have been illegal contact. And interception.
I know. He said they screwed up the interception.
Yeah, he disagreed with the interception for sure.
But he agreed on the illegal contact.
Yes, he did. I think he said that they got the right call, but in his mind, he thought it was illegal contact more than pass interference.
Right to make a call, wrong call made.
Yeah. It was illegal contact. There's no debating that. You can debate whether Davis initiated that or not, but there's no debating beyond 5 yards. He was still in being contacted by the defensive player.
And does anything feel more automatic than the Bills getting a first and goal at the, you know, whatever, the 2 or the 5 or the 7? They're just such a good red zone team with Allen.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, there were some times where there was a first and goal, I think, at the 1, and I thought, just have Josh sneak it. And they didn't. I mean, they scored a touchdown on the drive, I think, eventually. But I just thought, hey, you're at the 1 yard line? Just have Josh run behind Mitch Morse.
It's totally forgettable and pedestrian now when a team goes for it on fourth down at the 1. It's like, yeah.
Go for it.
Touchdown.
You got a big quarterback. All right, we'll go around. We're taking your calls, by the way. 803-0550. We'll also dash around the NFL when we get back for some stories from around the league. Yesterday, it is Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Four-man rush by the Rams. Josh Allen takes his time, goes right side, fires over the middle, caught by Cole Beasley, trying to dive forward, and he's got the first down. All the way down to the Rams, 46, 47-yard line. That should be enough for a first.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
For us, he's been putting in, you know, I truly believe this, and, you know, the guys in the locker room feel the same way. We've been put in great positions to go out there and succeed and, you know, go out there, make plays and execute a game plan that's put together perfectly for us. It's just about us going out there and executing. That's it.
And it's Jets quarterback Sam Darnold saying they have perfect game plans put together and it's up to them to execute it. The video I initially saw that tweeted as was the comment, or the caption was, blink twice if you're okay, or something like that.
Sorry.
Sam, we'll get you out of there.
Oh my! I feel bad for him. I really do. He threw a couple pick sixes yesterday. I mean, but it's such a stark contrast between him and Josh Allen. I mean, in terms of the front office and how they built their roster, the coach... And it's worse for the Jets because the head coach, who's not a good head coach, is also the offensive guy. Like, it's his offense, and he's the play caller, and it's his design. And, you know, Tannehill's better off after Adam Gase. And the weapons around him, I mean, they overhauled the offensive line. It's still a work in progress. Frank Gore was their leading ball carrier yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, Bell's injured, and they got a rookie in Pirine, and I think Kalen Ballage is there. But come on. If your game plan includes Frank Gore having the most carries for you in a football game, something's wrong with your offense. So, I feel they failed miserably in the support system, including coaching and players, that they've put around Sam Darnold. And, I mean, they're not even competitive. They're 0-3, and they've gotten blown out in all three games.
Well, the Bills beat the Rams. The Patriots got a win. They beat the Raiders. That's who the Bills play next, right? You get a good look at, all right, we saw how New England played against the Raiders. How do the Bills play against the Raiders? The Patriots next week play the Chiefs at Arrowhead.
Yeah, so,
425.
What do you think? A little win over Vegas and have a 2-game lead on New England?
Those games will be going at the same time, too, by the way. So you'll kind of keep an eye on one, and, you know, both with late starts.
Yeah.
Maybe. 2-game lead, 4 games in would be
that's nice.
Significant.
Yeah. And then Tennessee's interesting, too. I saw they had a high-scoring game with Minnesota, and they needed the Gostkowski. So Tennessee's 3-0, but all three wins are close. All three wins are Gostkowski field goals inside the last 2 minutes of the game as the margin of victory for them.
They're 3-0 and haven't covered the spread once.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Huh. Because
Gostkowski, did you see what he said he did differently?
No.
He didn't wear socks.
What?
He needed to get out of a slump. He decided to not wear socks.
Really?
And it worked. Yep.
Okay. Well, I got to tell you, when we have a couple of bad shows in a row, I usually don't wear underwear. I don't know if you knew that. Maybe I shouldn't have shared that to everybody. The other thing is, one of the things that's playing out is Seattle's really good. And by the way, my Cardinals lost a heartbreaker yesterday. But Seattle's really good. And Russell Wilson is off to a fantastic start. The whole thing about let Russ cook and let's throw the ball. And they were throwing it a lot yesterday, maybe in part because Chris Carson, I think, left the game injured. But then Russell Wilson's really good. The Seattle game, I know it's down the road, but we talked about it earlier. You could have the two top passing offenses or two of the top, sorry, Kansas City, I can't forget, two of the top passing offenses facing each other when the Bills play the Seattle Seahawks because Russell Wilson is dealing, kids, and he was just unstoppable yesterday.
Can you get to any sort of who you should root for on tonight? I asked you how much you were going to watch. Who are you rooting for? Who should you root for tonight? I think the answer is you should root for the Chiefs.
The only thing I could think of, without looking at both schedules and tiebreakers, is I would say the Chiefs only because the Bills play them.
Right.
They don't play Baltimore. They could beat Kansas City themselves, in theory.
Agreed. If you're trying to get the one seed in a first-round bye, you want the team that you don't play to get a loss because your plan is to hang a loss on the Chiefs yourself.
Yeah.
So that's the best I can do is root for Kansas City for that reason, but you don't even have to do that necessarily.
You staying up for the whole game?
I'm sure you can make a case to flip it the other way.
Sorry, you're going to stay up for the whole game?
You know what? I don't. I've stayed up for a lot of Sunday and Monday night games because I have complete fantasy implications, and this time I don't. But I am very, very eager to watch Baltimore this year. I mean, I've seen the Chiefs a couple times.
Yeah.
Baltimore I have not seen as much of as I'd like to, and I want to see what that offense looks like.
Right.
And especially against this Chiefs team. Plenty of people are going to be expecting a shootout, right, in the 30s?
For sure. Oh, my goodness, for sure, yeah. In the 40s?
So. Yeah.
All right, we'll follow up on that. And speaking of the Bills and the Chiefs, I want to ask you about a tweet you sent out this morning about that game, too. It is Bills Football Monday, 803-0550 to join us. Big win for the Bills yesterday. Crazy game. We're going through all of it all morning with you. It's presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.